We are inching closer and closer to draft day. So what are the top positions that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need to look for? And are the Buccaneers still in the market for a safety? And it's a Mock Draft Monday. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation, and welcome to Locked On Bucs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, joined by my fantastic co-host, David Harrison, who now covers your Tampa Bay Buccaneers for SI's BucsGameDay.com, while I am over at BucsNation.com, part of SB Nation. And when we aren't here or there, you can find us on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
We do thank you again for making Locked On Bucs first listen or review every day. Today's episode brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Speaking of bets, you guys don't know this, but literally 20 seconds before we start recording this episode, I made James Yarko very, very mad. That reason will be revealed April 3rd, 2032. Until then, we're going to worry about what's happening right now. We're going to start by ranking Buccaneers draft positions. James, since the last time we did this, Leonard Fournette and Giovanni Bernard have since returned. Mm-hmm. Rob Gronkowski has told our good friend JC Cornell that he's 50-50 on coming back to the NFL. And if he does come back, it will be with the Buccaneers. Jason Pierre-Paul, I don't know what's going on with JPP. Ndamukong Suh appears to want to come back. Todd Bowles has also said that Ndamukong Suh is on their list of targets to come back this season. So those are the newest developments. James, given all that information, what is your top three for draft position needs heading into the 2022 NFL draft?
As of right now, as it stands, as we are recording at 6:52 p.m. on a Sunday, and I say
in 2022,
I say that because you had just finished recording an episode and not even 5 minutes later, Bruce Arians retired. So I want the people to know the time frame in which we are working with, because there's a really good chance that the minute we're done recording, somebody is going to sign with the Buccaneers and negate this entire conversation. But my number one positional need right now is still the defensive line. They did bring back Will Golston. They still have Vita Vea, but Ndamukong Suh, whether he has interest in the Bucs or the Bucs have interest in him or whatever that little dance is, it doesn't matter. Right now, he's not on the roster. Somebody else that has expressed interest in coming back but is not on the roster, Steve McClendon. So even if Ndamukong Suh comes back, the Buccaneers still need depth along the defensive line. Would I like to see them go after a long-term replacement to line up with Vita Vea? Absolutely, I would. It would give some stability to the position, but I'm not going to poo-poo the idea of Ndamukong Suh. And didn't mean to rhyme, but that's where it went. My number two position, tight end. Even if Rob Gronkowski comes back, there's still a void at the tight end position because of the loss of O.J. Howard. We've seen with injury issues and things like that, the depth at the tight end position is incredibly important. So you still have to address that. And there are some good ones that the Buccaneers can find on day two of the NFL draft. And number three, it's another position where I feel that the depth was highly overrated last year and definitely came into play. Of course, you all know I'm talking about wide receiver. I'm not going to be upset if the Buccaneers draft a wide receiver at number 27 in the first round. We don't know Chris Godwin's return status. Yep. You got to have depth at that position. So those are my top three: defensive line, tight end, wide receiver.
Yeah. So recently, Dan Parr of NFL.com ranked the Buccaneers draft needs, and he ranked them interior offensive line, specifically the guard positions, defensive line, and tight end. And I wrote that up for Bucs Game Day, part of SI.com's family of sites. And James, I agree with him. I that's my order as well. Interior offensive line, defensive line, and tight end. Interior offensive line, I don't like the idea of handing a starting job over to a new guy to protect the greatest quarterback to ever play this game. And I say that with a little bit of hesitance because Aaron Stinney, I don't know that I would consider Aaron Stinney being handed a starting job, right? Because he's already protected Tom Brady during the most crucial stretch of an NFL season, which is the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And he did a very, very good job. He was in competition with Alex Kappa last year. I don't know how real that competition actually was, but he was quote unquote in competition with Alex Kappa last year. So Aaron Stinney, I kind of look at like, you're not so much being handed a starting job. I think he's kind of earned some of the clout that he's gotten. Shaq Mason is really the guy I'm talking about. And yes, obviously the Bucks like him. They traded for him, got a steal for him. Everybody agrees that the Patriots absolutely got fleeced in that deal, but I would still like to see him meet up with some competition. And while Robert Hainsey is still there, even if Robert Hainsey is that competition, you still need depth across the offensive line. Now, outside of Hainsey and maybe Josh Wells, I don't really see it sitting there. Defensive line, for the exact same reasons you said, even if Sue comes back, which I believe he will, where there's a will, there's a way. And look, Ndamukong Suh, if you haven't picked it up by his Twitter profile yet, one of the smartest businessmen probably in the National Football League. He doesn't throw out hints like that of coming back to the Buccaneers if he's talking to other teams. I do believe it's Bucks or nothing for Sue, and I think they'll make it happen. Tight end position, even though Gronk's 50-50, I'm still 100 and nothing. Truthfully, I'm probably like 90-10 now, actually, by this time. But I still believe Gronk will come back, but for all the same reasons you said. Now, just to be very clear to everybody in the comments section that's very upset that I didn't put wide receiver on my list at all and that James put it at number three, this doesn't mean the Buccaneers don't draft wide receiver in the first round necessarily. It doesn't mean they don't go cornerback in the first round necessarily. Talent plus need is still always going to combine into who you draft. I'm just saying that for me, right now, the way the roster stands, if the Buccaneers don't come out of this draft with an interior offensive lineman, a D lineman, and a tight end in this class, to me, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, and I'm with you on interior offensive line. I just don't have it as high as you. Like, I have wide receiver right here, and I got interior offensive line like right there. But if the Buccaneers go into the season with their starters being Mason and Stinney at the guard positions, I'm totally comfortable with it. I think Stinney is a starting caliber guard who was just getting beat out by a little bit better of a guard. That doesn't mean that Aaron Stinney is bad by any means. It just means that Kappa was that much better and he got rewarded for that in free agency. But I think we can agree that those four are the top four for the Buccaneers, whatever order that our commenters or our listeners or our viewers want to put them in.
Absolutely, I do. And the secondary is obviously up there. Like, if it's top five, you're probably going to secondary. Like, you can kind of play this game. The key is the Buccaneers have some solid starting rosters or some starting units put together. They need some depth and they need to look at the future in some very specific areas. One person they did bring in to help bolster that secondary unit, James, is Logan Ryan, but he is not here to replace Jordan Whitehead. If you don't believe me, ask Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles, which is not what we did, but someone else did. And we're going to dissect his comments here in a moment. But first, our next partner has a product that I literally use every single day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted the energy boost and I wanted the 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and aptogens without choking down a bunch of pills. I had to Google aptogens when I started taking it because I didn't know what that means. After I learned what it was, I wanted it, so I'm glad I have it. I start every morning with 12 ounces of pineapple juice. Some people use water. I like mine with pineapple juice. I add one scoop of AG1. I shake it up, and I'm good to go for my morning. AG1 from Athletic Greens is lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, I'm not any of those. So if you're just a heathen like me and you eat a little bit of everything, it fits your lifestyle as well. But if you have a restriction for whatever reason, it'll fit your lifestyle and it costs you less than $3 a day. So you can invest in your health for less than your friend with the cold brew habit. Your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D drops as well, which is so important to add when those winter months come back around, or if you live in Ohio and the winter months are still hanging around when we don't get as much sunlight. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into another cold and flu season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water, or if you're like me, pineapple juice every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of that immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network.
Yeah, you're a pineapple juice guy. I'm a cranberry juice guy.
There you go.
And as soon as I'm done with my AG1, you know what? I'm reaching for the Built Puffs, because Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They are a treat. They are covered in 100% real chocolate. Puffs are a fan favorite with great flavors such as brownie batter, churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, all Built Bars. The Puffs and the OGs, covered in 100% real chocolate, low calorie, high protein, most of them containing 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of carbs. They are all delicious, with new flavors coming out all the time. And if they think a flavor might be good, they're going to go ahead and give it a try. And once they master that flavor, then they do the whole reverse engineer thing, make it healthy for all of you out there. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Thanks again, Bucks fans, for making us your first listen or your first view every single day here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. Make sure you're also following the Locked On NFL podcast, Locked On Experts, covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes, free and available wherever you get podcasts. James, those brownie batter Built Puffs, I'm waiting on my shipment to arrive. I can't wait because some of our co-hosts on the network have gotten theirs and they're ranting and raving about how delicious they are. I cannot wait to get my hand on those bars.
Yeah, they're throwing it in our faces a little bit there.
Yeah, but really, I got an order in, so I'm good. I will have those in my possession very shortly, and I will give a full review on this show. Excellent. In the meantime, let's talk about Ronnie and T-Crass on WDAE, because Todd Bowles, the new head coach of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was on WDAE with Ronnie and T-Crass recently, asked about new safety Logan Ryan, who many of you, including us, honestly, to a certain extent, as a one-to-one replacement for safety Jordan Whitehead, who is now playing with the New York Football Jets. And Bowles responded, quote, "Ryan brings a lot of intelligence to us and a lot of experience to us. I would like to see him in practice and move around, see how I could exactly use him and would use him. But I know he's not the same type of player as Jordan. He's not even brought in to replace Jordan, so to speak. So he still has to come in and move around and let me see where he can fit and work those kinks out. But I know he's a sharp player and a very sharp guy," end quote. James, your thoughts on Logan Ryan not, so to speak, being the one-to-one replacement for Jordan Whitehead that you claimed he was when he was signed by the Buccaneers?
Whoa. Calm down. No need to be throwing words around all willy-nilly like that.
Just hoobity-boobity.
No, because Logan Ryan, as we've discussed before, is that Swiss Army knife guy, right? He's the guy that could kind of do everything. So I am really interested to see how Todd Bowles is going to utilize him. We know he can utilize him at safety. He can also utilize him at nickel. We saw all those three safety sets that the Buccaneers were running last year with Edwards, Whitehead, and Antoine Winfield Jr. So, yeah, he's not a direct replacement at all because he has such a versatile aspect to his game, and the fact that he can line up everywhere. He's not really a true anything. He's not a true strong safety. He's not a true free safety. He's not a true corner. What he is a football player, and he's a really, really smart defensive football player. You go back to last season, right, when the Buccaneers bring in Richard Sherman, and they're cross-training Sherman to play safety in certain situations because of Sherman's high football IQ. He was a player that they could have out on the field pretty much anywhere to be able to dissect what the offense is doing, put himself and his teammates in a position to succeed. I see the same thing in Logan Ryan without, hopefully, the injury issues, right? He's a high football IQ guy. He's a high motor guy, and he's versatile. So he's a guy that when you see him lining up at safety, that doesn't mean he's not going to come down and crash the box. When you see him lining up at nickel, that doesn't mean he's all of a sudden not going to drop back and be the deep guy. It doesn't mean that he's not blitzing from the outside corner position. So it keeps the opposing offenses guessing, right? They don't know what they're looking at, no matter where Logan Ryan is lining up, because in the blink of an eye, he can switch things up.
Yes, 100%. Completely agree with everything you just said. I think you nailed it. I applaud you. This is why I am proud to be your co-host on this illustrious program. Seriously, the only thing I really have to add to that is Ron Rivera last year for the Washington Commanders. I know nobody cares about the Commanders, but here's what he said, which is why this whole thing ties in. His aim in Washington is to have a defense. And we talked about this before, James, but for those who haven't caught it yet, when the offense puts a guy in motion, what's the biggest reason to do that? Number one is to make the defense expose their coverage, right? Are you in man? Are you in zone? Two, it also hopefully confuses the defense a little bit right off the bat, gives you a little bit more of an advantage than the offense already typically tends to have, right? So Logan Ryan, Mike Edwards, Antoine Winfield Jr., maybe another name that we're going to talk about here in a minute. You put those guys on the field, that's exactly what you have. Like, you can go in motion, and if the defense is installed right and everybody's on the same page mentally, nobody has to move. Everybody can stay right where they are because exactly what you just said, the coverage just shifts with what's happening. You could still be a man, still be in zone. You know what I mean? You could still be having a safety blitz, but it may not be Logan now because of the motion. Maybe now it's not Mike Edwards, it's Antoine Winfield Jr. You know what I mean? That is the kind of defense you want. And again, we go back to Todd Bowles' aggression, which I get. Zero blitz against Rams, got it. Todd Bowles loves to force offenses to do what you want him to do versus react to the offense. That gives you that flexibility, as would adding another guy, James, potentially, like the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, we're going back to that conversation, and it's one that we've had numerous times, you know, predating free agency. And Tyrann Mathieu, of course, was brought up in the conversation for obvious reasons with Bowles, who told Ronnie Antikraz, quote, "Everybody's under consideration. He's a heck of a player, and he's been a heck of a player. We actually drafted him in Arizona, so his track record speaks for itself. If the situation is right, everybody's a viable player in this game." David, you've said it 1,000 times over the course of the last 3 years. Todd Bowles does not have a system. Todd Bowles' system is his players. You have Antoine Winfield Jr. You have Mike Edwards. Now you have Logan Ryan. Tyrann Mathieu, not really a true one-for-one replacement of Jordan Whitehead, right? No. So does it make sense now to continue the Tyrann Mathieu conversation? Do we continue to talk about how he could potentially fit with the Buccaneers, or do they need to move on? You know, do fans need to move on and look at somebody like a Keanu Neal or somebody who is a true strong safety that can come in and light up next to Antoine? Or do you bring in the Honey Badger because he's the Honey Badger and Bowles will figure it out?
Yeah, that should be illegal. There needs to be something in the NFL bylaws that doesn't allow Tyrann Mathieu to join this defense already, because that would be so incredibly unfair. My only question about Tyrann Mathieu and joining the Buccaneers isn't the fit, isn't the potential, isn't the desire on the Buccaneers end of things. Obviously, the Bucs should be interested in this. It's Tyrann Mathieu. I wonder if Tyrann is ready to go into a role player position. And I don't mean that as like a four snaps a game type of guy. I mean, he's obviously going to be a very well visible part of the defense if he comes, but he is going to be a part of the secondary, not like the part of the secondary like he kind of was in Kansas City and potentially could still be, I believe. So that's really the only question. I don't know that answer. If Tyrann is ready to come in and be one of five safeties that literally Todd Bowles and the co-defense coordinators just kind of throw out there as they need them, I'm all for it. But if Tyrann wants to go out and still be a number one guy somewhere, then I don't think that place is in Tampa.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we've been pounding that drum for years. In fact, I don't think we have gone a single offseason hosting the Locked On Bucs podcast without bringing up the potential of the Buccaneers signing Tyrann Mathieu. It would be
this
great.
This is the first offseason without Larry Fitzgerald, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, and who's going to rule that one out? Because Larry Fitzgerald never did say the word retire.
That's true. And he's definitely fit. Like, if you see it, like, he's not Andrew Luck. Like, he's definitely still in, I don't know about playing shape because it's been a minute since he's been on the field, but he's in shape and would just have to get into playing shape.
I get the feeling that he's playing a lot of golf and he's walking the course. He's not using the cart. He's just out there strolling, having himself a wonderful time. But look, it would be a lot of fun. It would be great to watch the Honey Badger suit up for the Buccaneers. I just don't see it happening. I think they're going to turn their attention to the draft. If there's a safety that they like there, that's where they'll strike. But there's still other strong safeties out on the free agent market that they could certainly explore. So if I was a betting guy, I would not put money on the Honey Badger coming to Tampa. But if you're a betting kind of person, of course, you could check out our friends over at betonline.net. It is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, like will Tiger Woods play at Augusta in the Masters? He's a game time decision. And those bets are included with the Masters Championship Odds podcast and reviews for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Wrapping things up here on the Locked On Bucks podcast, James Yarko, David Harrison on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks, at @DHarrison82. It's a mock draft Monday, and we are double dipping on mock drafts. These mock drafts, also, ironically enough, are double dipping at the same position for the Buccaneers. And David, I don't know if you're going to be happy about it or not, because we call this a tease. The position that's being double dipped was not in your top three back in segment one, but our very own Ryan Tracy of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast dropped his mock draft. And the first five are pretty similar to what we've been seeing throughout the mock draft process, except for one surprise. Number one, Jacksonville goes with offensive tackle Evan Neal. Number two, Detroit finally makes the right decision, in your opinion, David, by going with the hometown guy, edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan. Then the Houston Texans, they're going to go with cornerback Ahmad Sauce Gardner. Usually we see a safety going right here, but this time they go with Sauce. Then the New York Jets, they shore up the tackle position along their offensive line with Ikem Ekwonu. I'm never going to pronounce that name right, ever. Ikem Ekwonu. And then the New York Giants go with edge rusher Trayvon Walker. For the Bucks at number 27, Ryan Tracy goes with Arkansas wide receiver Treylon Burks. Now, Burks makes the fifth wide receiver taken in this mock draft. Then Tracy had division rivals Carolina go with David, your boy, quarterback Malik Willis. Okay. Atlanta takes one of those five wide receivers with Ohio State wide receiver Garrett Wilson. In New Orleans goes quarterback with Kenny Pickett. David, your thoughts on Treylon Burks being the guy for the Bucs at 27.
Yeah, it's weird because Treylon Burks is kind of like getting the Dak Prescott treatment when it comes for me, like in the beginning of this whole process. And I mean, like, let's be honest, James, I think I was the first person to bring Treylon Burks to your attention. I do believe I was very high on the kid. Like, it's like I was a champion of Treylon Burks before some other people. I'm not, you know, trying to trump. Like, I'm not saying you're saying like I knew before they knew, but just I was kind of championing Treylon Burks before a lot of people were. Now, people are almost championing Treylon Burks too much. Like, I don't like Treylon Burks as much as some people are now starting to like. I mean, I've seen Treylon. I mean, 27 is one thing, but like, I've seen Treylon mocked in like the top 12, top 15. Yeah, and I just don't think that's really where he goes. But I mean, look, the theory of it, another big receiver, a red zone threat. You know, you got an older quarterback and an offensive line's got some replaced pieces. Maybe he needs to get the ball out faster. Bigger wingspan, bigger body allows you a little bit more room for error. So I like the pick from a strategic standpoint. I just don't know that I'm as sold on Treylon Burks as much as some people are now sold on him, which is ironic because of what I said before. As far as the divisional guys, Malik Willis going to Carolina, very interested to see, you know, what the head coach of Carolina will do in 2023 when it's no longer Matt Rhule. The Atlanta Falcons, Garrett Wilson's going to run a lot of deep routes that Marcus Mariota is going to underthrow. And the New Orleans Saints, Kenny Pickett, you know, is going to enjoy sitting on the bench watching Jameis Winston throw the football around the field. So don't like any of those picks.
I like the Treylon Burks pick. The only complaint that I really have, given how the wide receivers at least fell, is I would not take Burks over Jahan Dotson, who went two picks later.
Yes.
That was the only thing. I would take Dotson over Burks, but I still like the pick. I mean, Olave went, I think, at like 13 or 14. He went in the high teens, and, you know, Olave's my guy. I get the feeling he's going to go much, much higher than a lot of people.
He's a top 15 guy for sure.
I think so. I think you're right.
That's what I'm hearing based on these zero scouts that I've talked to this offseason.
Yes. But David, on top of Ryan Tracy's mock draft, the Draft Network, shout out Carmen Vitale. She was the one that I noticed this feed from. She had posted on Twitter that there is a live Draft Network mock going on YouTube. And that was over the weekend. It was on Saturday. Nice. And
the draft network did a mock draft.
Right.
That's weird.
Wild. What a wild, wild world that we live in. But I jumped in and I was curious as to what they were thinking. Yep. And sure enough, they also went with a wide receiver with your guy, North Dakota State wide receiver, Christian Watson.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I mean, look, if you guys listen to the show on a regular basis, you know my affinity for Christian Watson, the best player to come out of North Dakota State University ever in the history of the school. That's right. I said it. Look back on the list. You'll know what I'm saying. And he's a Tampa product. Like, the kid is a Plant City High School product. He's from Tampa. Bring him home. Get him a ring. Make him your number three or four. And honestly, it's kind of like what Todd Bowles talks about. Russell Gage and Christian Watson and Tyler Johnson, assuming he learned his lesson, Scotty Miller, like, basically it's like, okay, we're going to put Mike, we're going to put Chris. Which wide receiver fits what we want to do here best? That's the guy on the field. You don't have like a true number three necessarily, but I do believe Christian Watson, with some next level coaching that he's going to get, not only from the coaching staff, but from Mike Evans, from Chris Godwin. I wrote this up for BucksNation.com, one of my last articles for Bucks Nation before I unfortunately had to leave, James, before Gil Garcia fired me, was about Christian Watson. That's not what happened. And I kind of wrote in there that I felt like Christian Watson, and again, not like year one production wise or anything crazy like that, but he was a little bit of a blend of what Mike and Chris do. So he's bigger, he's a little bit taller, longer, bigger body, you know, wider wingspan like Mike Evans has, but he's got more speed and separation ability and three level ability like Chris Godwin has. He's a perfect blend of both of them. Absolutely would love to see the pick. Christian Watson, I think traditionally probably like an early second round pick, but I would love to see the Buccaneers take him at number 27 because I'm a fan.
So David Harrison,
yes,
right now on record,
yes,
is saying that we have a Mike Evans, Johnny Manziel situation where Christian Watson made Trey Lance. Trey Lance
look better.
Make Christian Watson.
Yeah, because I will tell you, at the Senior Bowl, the people who came out of it going like, oh, these couple of quarterbacks not named Malik Willis looked pretty good at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, no, Christian Watson made them look better than they actually looked.
All right, so Trey Lance is the second coming of Johnny Manziel. David Harrison on record, yep, saying that. Yep. And with that, we are going to get out of here. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucks podcast your first listen of the day. Now make your second listen the Locked On NFL Draft podcast with Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker. They bring the NFL draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects as well as NFL front offices. It is also free and available on all platforms. I will be back tomorrow. David is going to take a much deserved day off, so I'll be flying solo on tomorrow's episode, which means I'm calling for your help. Go ahead and send me your topics, your questions, any such things over at 813-444-5841. Or you can send us an email, lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. For David Harrison, I am James Yarko. And until we speak again, make sure you are checking out everything that David is writing over at BucksGameDay.com. I am writing over at BucksNation.com. And follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another, fire those cannons. And thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.